If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
One, two. A one, two, three, hey. I went down yonder sometime, living with the law. Sometime bound for glory. Sometime we're gonna see it all. Sometime just get on board. Sometime I'm gonna fill my sack. Sometime I tell my honey come back. Sometime I'm gonna wrap that jack. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime they'll come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime they'll come and get your fill. Sometime way down yonder. Sometime we're gonna drag that saw. Sometime go to carry. Sometime don't you hear me haw. Sometimes just get on board. Sometime I'm gonna build that stack. Sometime I tell my honey come back. Sometime I'm gonna wrap that jack. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime I come and get your fill. Sometime try your patience. Sometime don't you just sit still. Sometime no more waiting. Sometime you gotta climb that hill. Sometime change is making. Sometime you gotta pay that bill. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime no time wasting. Sometime. Sometime bound for glory. Sometime we're gonna see it all. Sometime just get on board. Sometimes I just get on board. I just get on board. Sometimes.
You've been listening to Sometimes from Larkin Poe and New Deco Ensemble's fused effort, Paint the Roses, live in concert. The pairing is an interesting one, with roots rock sisters Rebecca and Megan Lovell of Larkin Poe being joined by members of the New Deco Ensemble, an orchestra led by conductor Jacobo Barros and artistic director Sam Hyken. Together, the larger ensemble performs songs from Larkin Poe's 2020 release Self-Made Man and a few other tunes back in December of 2020 in Miami. I sat down with all four of these wonderfully talented people to get the scoop on this genre-bending experience and collaboration.
This is a really cool project, and I don't know exactly where to begin. I think I'll begin here. With Rebecca. Rebecca, did you know about New Deco? Like, how did this all come about?
It was a beautiful collaboration from the ground up. Mm-hmm. We grew up playing classical violin and piano as young kids. And so we've always been involved in a small way to listening to classical music and from our childhood to our adulthood. I was not familiar with New Deco until we were all introduced kind of through the industry for the collaboration. But man, in getting to meet these guys, we have found soulmates. We have found like true creative collaborators. And it's been such a joy not only to perform, but then also to release an album with these beautiful souls. So it's just been, I said this previously, but it really is a match made in heaven.
That's great to hear. And from Sam and Giacomo's side, you've worked with so many varied artists, whether it's Wyclef or Jacob Collier and Ben Folds. How did you guys feel about working with such a dynamic duo in the two sisters of Larkin Poe?
I think I've said this before, but, you know, honestly, it was our first time collaborating with a blues rock duo, or whatever genre you want to call them, because I know we're all trying to be as genreless as possible. But, you know, it was something different for us to get steel guitar or lap guitar and electric guitars up there as a soloist, as a front artist. And so I was always a little bit like, ah, how's this going to work? I love their music. I thought it was beautiful. I fell in love with Matt as a Hatter. They had been in our orbit for a while. We wanted to do something. We knew it, but I was just concerned about how that would blend in well with the acoustics of the orchestra and the string instruments and all of that. And like I said before, like within 3 or 4 minutes of playing the first notes, I could tell right away that this wasn't Bush League. They came in with such a high level of artistry, understanding what the orchestra was all about, understanding how to blend in naturally with strings and perform with an orchestra, that within like 2 or 3 minutes, like any worries or concerns I had about that sort of collaboration was just out the window. And because they have that background in classical music and also just incredible ears and artistry, they were able to seamlessly bring in their music and their tone of their guitars and how they did everything with the orchestra in a way that I couldn't believe. I was astonished, and it just made me want to open up more to that genre, of course, work with them more, and of course release this album. So it was definitely a great surprise when we finally got on stage. It was the first time we worked with that genre in totality.
Megan, how easy was it for you to jump right in? I mean, you were violinists from a young age. But this is something a little bit different than just playing the violin. You're already an established artist. You're both established artists with a sound for your band and for the kind of music that you make. And this is sort of going backwards, but going forward in an extreme way. How was that for you to like re-acclimatize yourself to a whole host of string instruments and everything else that, that you know, a traditional band like this, an orchestra offers up?
I know we came in not knowing quite what to expect either. But we, you know, we listened to all of the music that New Deco has put out, and they're so great at blending with the artists that they collaborate with that we had a lot of faith. So I think we had a lot of faith that it was going to be great. And we were just blown away the first rehearsal, because we flew down to Miami. And previous to that, we'd only had a couple of phone calls, and you know, we flew down and we had one day of rehearsals, and we were immediately just blown away by the sound. And it was actually pretty effortless, like surprisingly effortless going in. You know, we didn't quite know what to expect, but we are familiar with how an orchestra works and, you know, playing with conductor and just riding the wave of sound. You know, it was beautiful.
Now, Sam, you had the opportunity to probably arrange and figure out how all this stuff fits together. Was that very challenging for you, moving from either two people or even a four piece at their biggest to a larger group? Was that hard for you to figure out where everything's going to fit and how everything's going to sound in this configuration?
I think there are inherent challenges from any artist that we work with, you know, whether it's, you know, too much arrangement to work with, not enough, you know, there's as Giacomo mentioned, it was the first, obviously, blues duo that we had collaborated with, the first time we'd collaborated with Lap Steel. You know, so there's inherent challenges, but they're beautiful challenges. And, you know, I always get like, we talk about this all the time and talk to the artists we collaborate with about this, which is, you know, I get this privilege of getting to live in their music for the 2 weeks that I'm working on it. And, you know, when they arrive, it's like, I already know them and know their souls in a way, because you've just spent all this time living in their music and living in their sound. And, you know, what's really unusual, you know, besides just the fact they totally kick ass and, you know, Rebecca's an amazing singer and, you know, getting to work with Megan's, Lap Steel, and being that really represents her as a musician, her voice, and getting to orchestrate that and orchestrate around it and, you know, use these lines, but also double these lines. So she had freedom to play other things in this configuration. So, you know, there are challenges, but I wouldn't say it was difficult. I feel like the whole process from coming up with the set list together to arranging to the very little time we had to prepare this. I mean, the album that you hear really it's two rehearsals that we had together, and it's the show is the album. So, you know, it's although it, you know, there's always challenges, this was a very organic process from front to even these interviews now. Like, the whole process has been incredible and seamless for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask about how much time you had together. Were there phone calls or demos being pushed back and forth before those two rehearsals? Or was it just show up, we'll show you some charts and away you go? Or was there more collaboration going on beforehand?
It was very much spur of the moment. I think that we, as Megan mentioned earlier, having a lot of faith based on, I guess, the discography of these guys, like the list of collaborations is jaw-dropping. And so moving in to this collaboration with a sense of, you know, like, hey man, like, we're going to show up with our big boy pants on and we're going to do the best we can. But it really was very spontaneous and very organic. And based on the year that this collaboration took place, it was at the very end of 2020. So we weren't able to have the luxury of an extended time together. There was a lot of protocol we were all following, kind of creating within those confines, the parameters of what we were allowed to do safely, really did dictate this, this very free form, like, hey, we're gonna show up and do the best that we all can do. And I think everyone really showed up with that energy, a real can-do, spontaneous energy that you can really hear in the recordings. I think there was so much joy and excitement, just sheer excitement from, oh my gosh, I've only heard this three times and it sounds so lush and beautiful. And what a gift, what a joy.
Does this project, Megan, happen if you're able to take Self-Made Man on the road, like properly, like a full tour going over to Europe and doing everything that Larkin Poe does? Does it happen at all, or does it happen later down the road? How does it happen if not for the pandemic?
I don't know, because we did have a full year of touring on the books. 2020 was going to be really, really busy. So who knows if it would have happened or not. I mean, certainly wouldn't have happened as it did. So we're really thankful for the opportunity, and, you know, it's a gift.
What's the reaction been like for your fans who are so involved on social media and so involved in making sure they know everything that's going on with the two of you? How has the reaction been? I mean, most of these songs are songs that they know from Self-Made Man, obviously. Mad as a Hatter is also included. How has the reaction been to this grouping by your fans? Because probably for them, it's a little more foreign than it is for you guys, right?
It is. I mean, we've been making music as Larkin Poe for 10 years now. And so in some ways, like, we're an old band in the grand scheme of things, you know, like we're entering grade school, we're, you know, developing social skills as a band. And I think this is typically a move that is played by fans in like a retrospective, like, you know, reimagining their hits,
yeah,
their greatest hits. And so, like, we're definitely not to that point in time, but by the same token, it's a little bit ass backwards, which is something that we kind of love to do as a band. And also, just based on any opportunity, we're definite yes men. So the fact that we were presented with this really cool opportunity, we couldn't not take part and see. We're very curious and see what would happen. But our fans have loved it.
Our fans are wonderful, and they're very musically, like, open. So they follow us on lots of musical journeys.
Yeah.
From, you know, from bluegrass at the beginning to hard rock to now classical. And they're great, and I think that they were really, really looking forward to having a recording of Mad as a Hatter, and this is just the perfect way to release that song, because they've been asking for that song to be recorded for years now, and it finally is.
Who made the decision on what songs to include? Was it collaborative, or did you know that you were going to be choosing songs from Self-Made Man and Matt, and using Matt as a Hatter as well? Or was that something that Sam and Jocko wanted to do?
It was very much collaborative. And we feel lucky that Sam and Giacomo were willing to comb through our catalog as well and present the songs that they thought would be, you know, best represented in this creative scope. But it was a really fun conversation to have because everyone was just kind of throwing songs around, and it was neat to see the overlap as well. I think ultimately the set list represented on Paint the Roses are the songs that we all overlapped on, that we all thought would be beautiful. And I really think that the set list came out so great, and all of these songs are so unique, and the arrangements and the spirit in which they were conducted.
And it was also an opportunity for special. Us to play songs from Self-Made Man, which, you know, we were supposed to be touring behind. Right. So it was a great opportunity for us to take those songs to the stage for really the first time, other than live streams.
You live in Nashville now, and there's a song Back Down South, which references being Southern musicians and all kinds of people, but specifically the Allman Brothers, who are from Georgia, your home state. Well, they're not, they're from Florida, but they spent a lot of time in Georgia, let's say that. Did you know you guys were gonna, I mean, have you done that before live with that song, or was that totally new and sort of something that you wanted to do to express that song in an even more fun and audience participatory way in Back Down South?
What I do love is that songwriting and the structuring of a show and building of a set list, it's all part of the creative process. And building shows and building set lists is something that I get really zoomed in on the details. I love it. You know, the walk-on and the lighting cues for this and that. And whenever we were talking about the reality of performing Back Down South and the fact that we do frequently get compared to, you know, our ultimate heroes, the Allman Brothers. We get called the Little Sisters of the Allman Brothers a lot, which for us is the highest of high compliments. And my husband and I were actually having a chat, and he and I wrote the song together, and he was kind of messing around. He said, you know what would be really cool is after you talk about Blue Sky and Skies Are Like, why don't you just like, what if you did a little piece of Blue Sky? And I, of course, squirreled that idea away like a little nut, you know, until we were getting excited and building the show. And it just worked. It was such a great idea. And it sounds so cool.
Because we were prepping for a huge year of touring, 2020. But we did get the opportunity to play two shows before everything shut down. So we would have played that song twice maybe on stage, and one was in India of all places. That's the place we went before everything shut down.
What's the plan moving forward with this project? It's out there, people are enjoying it, you're going to get back to touring. Is there an opportunity to take the show on the road, as it were, and have more people be exposed to Giacomo's Yes Please? Is there an opportunity to do this more, or again, to larger audiences?
The question becomes, will Sam and Giacomo and at least 20 to 40 members of their ensemble be willing to be zip tied to the van of our 15 passenger van and accompany us across the country?
Right.
That's what we're all here to ask. And boys, we want your answer.
We have, do you say yes? We're down on our knees. We have one bus, so we might have to double up on or triple up on bunk space.
But ultimately you want to play these songs again, the way they were performed on this record.
Yes.
And do more of them.
Yes, absolutely. Our feeling is that definitely the opportunity to be able to take this album and perform it on the road at some point in the future, that would truly be a dream scenario, mm-hmm. because it is very unique, which is something that I think all of us appreciate. We like art that pushes boundaries and is genre blending and mind bending. I love the new Deco, you know, mission statement, which is to really push boundaries and to create new experiences for music lovers irregardless of genre. So yeah, I think it would be incredible. We don't know the circumstances, and the future is as yet unwritten, but we look forward with great hope and optimism for more collaborations in future.
What's up for new Deco now that this project is out there? What are you guys up to right now, aside from making touring plans and figuring out how you're going to fit on their bus? Aside from that, what are your other plans right now? Are you working with other artists? Are you just working with with the orchestras? What is the plan moving forward, Giacomo?
Well, actually, it's been quite a busy summer for us because not only did we have this amazing concert recorded with Larkin Poe, but there was a few other works we had canned over, you know, not only during the pandemic year, whatever you want to call what last year was when we did our live season, but even some like albums we had previously. And, you know, the time and space that we were afforded during the pandemic allowed us to listen to a lot of our previous work and release a lot of that online, DSPs, YouTube. And we found that that was really serving the organization well by getting our name a little bit more out there. So we kind of just continue to do that. I mean, Larkin Poe's album really just jumped off the scale and has done really well. And, you know, even Billboard charted it recently, which is super exciting. I think we were number 2 in classical crossover, number 5 in blues. I think we're like number 25 or 26 in the classical charts, which we think is really hilarious. Yeah,
we charge. No way.
So, you know, I just think for us right now, content is king, and we're just doing our best to look at everything we've recorded and done in the past and release it. Concurrently, we are also approaching our new 7th season, which is going to be a blended hybrid model of our live and in-person season that we began last year. And that's really exciting. So we're about to announce all the guest artists for that. And we have another album coming out. Well, actually, funny, a week later after the Larkin Poe album, we released an album with Luke James, which was a really special concert we recorded. Well, actually, it wasn't a concert. It was a recording project we did for NAACP and in support of Black businesses in Atlanta. It was sponsored by Patron. The BET premiere that they sponsored it as well. So that was a really cool project that we finally got out. And it was cool because within 7 days, we released a blues rock album and then an R&B album, which was really fun and exciting. And it kind of allowed us to really stretch our wings and really show who we could be. And yeah, we have some exciting releases over the next 2 or 3 months, some more videos coming out, and just, you know, really excited about the new season planning ahead. And we also have a youth ensemble program that we started that just kicked into gear this past weekend. So we're excited about that. And I don't know, maybe Sam want to chime in if I'm missing anything. I'm not sure.
I think you nailed it. I think, except the only other thing is that with every live show we do, the day before we do education concerts as well for kids, we either bust them into the venue that we're at, if it's able, but this past season during the pandemic, we were streaming directly into schools. So we actually had even a bigger reach than we'd ever had before. I think we were able to hit 10,000 kids live, and then this last year we had 35,000 kids. So it was really wonderful.
And Larkin Poe, what's up next now that things have slowly quieted down and you can get back out on the road? I know that you did a couple shows last couple of weeks, I think. What's up next for you guys?
Yeah, we're just carrying on our Monster Energy Outbreak tour. It's been fantastic. Yeah.
We're on tour
for the next 5 weeks, right up until the holidays. And then we're going to take time to work on the next Larkin Poe record as well. But honestly, just, I think, taking time to feel so much gratitude, not only for the amount of creativity that everyone has been able to engage with over the last year and a half, in spite of adverse circumstances, and to have made such valuable friendships with you. I love your funk hat. We're able to see you as we're chatting here, making new friends, and Sam and Giacomo, these powerhouses of creative energy, to be able to have individuals like this in our sphere that inspire us and show us what's possible, because kicking ass for a living.
And we're just loving seeing audiences again, like being able to play for people and look into their eyes. It's been amazing.
How much of this process do you think is going to appear in future works? Not necessarily with New Deco, although we do love the boys, but how much of this inspiration, this idea of being a fuller band, you know, filling in gaps where either the two of you can't get to or the four of you can't get to on your own, how much of that is sort of going to creep its way into future recording and future band plans?
Oh man, that's my favorite part about getting to be creative for a living, is the fact that every experience you are granted in your lifetime indelibly changes your art, and you don't know exactly in which ways you are changed. But this experience with New Deco Ensemble, I think, has absolutely created an expansiveness in our perception of team players, because we have traditionally been a very lean, mean machine, you know, 4 players on stage tops in, I guess, pretty much the duration of our career as Larkin Poe. And that's something that I think we really would love to change. I think being able to have more bodies, more minds involved in the creative process, it's a groupthink. It only makes it better. So we look forward to that.
See, I don't know. You got to be careful what you record, because now I'm hearing all these amazing violins and horn sections, and I want to try and play it on stage, but there's only so much one instrument, one tiny lap steel can do. And I'm hearing the violins and I want them.
Yeah, might be time to look into a MIDI rig or something. Maybe right? that'll help.
Oh my gosh, we shall see. Either that or just again, I mean, whenever the gentlemen are prepared, the gentlemen and ladies of New Deck are ready to be zip tied. We got it ready. We're here and humbly requesting their presence at every gig moving forward.
Well, thanks so much to both groups of people on this call. To Larkin Poe for introducing their fans to orchestral music and a more expansive sound. And for New Deco to always be trying to push the boundaries of what they do as a traditional orchestra or traditional symphony. So kudos to both groups. And thanks so much for Paying the Roses. It's a great record that we spent quite a lot of time with. So thank you as well. And thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, we appreciate the love.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ara. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
For more on Larkin Poe, visit larkinpoe.com. And for more on New Deco Ensemble, visit new-deco.org. Before we leave you, let's listen to another reimagined Larkin Poe New Deco Ensemble mashup from Paint the Roses. Here is Mad as a Hatter.
Covers, rifles through your head, and then you wake to find you can't remember what you just said. It happens to everyone. Just like the father of my father, tired soul is mine, and I can't forget that one fourth of his blood is mine. I try. Distinction, who you are, who you were, through the looking glass where past and future begin to blur, and no one can blame you. They say the world is what you make it. You think, speak, and breathe, and those rules still apply, stuck in a world of
come.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.